Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today. If you would like to check us out, it's at Happy Hunterdon on Facebook, or you can go to hunterdonchamber.org and click on the link for the audio version if you just want to listen to audio. So today, I am very happy to welcome Judy Baker from the organization From Houses to Homes. Welcome.
Good morning, Nicole.
Great. And she is the executive director. Director of From Houses to Home, and it focuses on building homes in Guatemala. And why don't you just give us a little overview of what From Houses to Homes does and your involvement with them?
From Houses to Homes is a grassroots organization founded by Joe Collins, who was a Marstown, New Jersey resident. And we work in Guatemala building homes, replacing cornstalk shacks for a block sustainable and safe home. We have a school in an indigenous community that's educating 174 students currently, and we have a health clinic that served over 4,000 people in 2018, bringing us to about a total of 19,000 people that we've served
Incredible.
Medical care to.
Great. And so can you tell us a little bit about Joe and how this whole thing got going?
Joe Collins, who was a very old friend of mine, very eccentric man who never really traveled anywhere out of his comfort zone, decided to visit his son, who was earning his PhD in Guatemala. His son was in a very northern part of Guatemala, in Coban, living in a hut with no water and no electricity. And Joe went there, and I didn't really think he would go. I said, make sure you take a picture of the Welcome to Guatemala sign so you can prove to me that you went. So he went there, and when he returned home, he could not forget the children because they're very poor and don't have any modern conveniences or really don't get many of their basic needs met in a healthy manner. So he decided that he would volunteer in Guatemala. So over the next 2 years, he volunteered 14 times. Each time it got a little longer. The first time was 2 weeks, and then as time went on, he ended up staying a couple of months, and he was working with an organization, and he decided for many reasons that he wanted to start his own. So he decided to start From Houses to Homes Guatemala. He got his 501c3 in 2004, and we built our first home in 2005.
That's incredible. And now you've built how many homes?
We're just about coming up on our 1,500th home, which is scheduled for November.
That's so amazing. And do you have a team going down there to build that?
Actually, the board of directors, we're all going down to build the 1,500th home. We built the 1,000th home, and now we're going back to build the 1,500th.
That's great. And you invite volunteers to come down and build those homes, right? Can you tell us a little bit about the volunteer program?
Sure. Our volunteer experience is an amazing opportunity for individuals, families. We get church groups. We get high schools. Colleges join us, and it's a five-day build. You work from Monday to Friday, and it's really an incredible experience. You just travel to Guatemala, which I know is challenging for some. It's not as scary as people make it out to. Guatemalan people have an incredible temperament, and they're very kind and welcoming. And we find a family that needs a home, and we assign each group to a home. We usually like about six volunteers that work with two of our men to build the home. And it's been said it's the hardest work you'll ever love.
No, I love that.
And so it's really a lot of fun. It's the hardest work I've ever done. But the family gets involved, and the children are amazing, and they want to be part of it. And you're up in these beautiful mountains, and the scenery is beautiful, but you are in the midst of really desperate poverty. But the people we work with never complain, which I find fascinating, because anyone living in these conditions here would be like, wait a minute, this isn't okay. There's no government programs to help them in Guatemala. There's inadequate health care for the poor that we work with. So it's really an amazing opportunity. So you build, and you visit our school, and you visit our health clinic, and on Friday we have a beautiful closing ceremony, which often has many tears shed by both our volunteers and the family receiving the house, because they are so grateful. Because we're replacing a cornstalk shack that has a dirt floor. So in the rainy season, it becomes muddy. It's unsafe. It's unhealthy. And we construct a block home that has a window, which they've never had. It has a skylight if they would like one, and a door with a lock and a key. And at our ceremony, we present that. And we explain Joe's history and how we started. And we ask the family, the home does not cost them anything. It is a gift. The only thing we ask them to do is that if their neighbors need help, to pay it forward. So just help the next person that they can.
That's great. And what is the time commitment if people want to volunteer or get a group together? Is it a week, a couple weeks?
It's a week. It's okay. Monday to Friday is our build. A lot of our volunteers come down a day or two early to do some really neat tourist kind of things.
Antigua's amazing, right?
Antigua's beautiful. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's just beautiful. It has every kind of restaurant you can imagine, so eating is never a problem in Antigua. Our most popular tourist excursion that people take is climbing a local volcano called Volcano Pacaya. Okay. Many, many volunteers of ours have climbed that. And then there's a coffee plantation tour, and a lot of people travel 2 hours away to Lake Atitlan, which is one of the most beautiful lakes in the world.
Yep.
There's lots to do there. And then you start working on Monday morning and finish on Friday afternoon.
which is good. We were just talking about our challenging teenagers. And, you know, nothing can humble a teenager, right? Like going to this country and seeing, like, hey, you got it pretty good.
It's an incredible experience as a family, and kids love it. We get many, many repeat volunteers. We have a lot of families that come back 6, 7, 8 times. It ends up being their summer vacation, and they just love it. But kids really love this vacation, all ages. My daughter was the youngest volunteer at age 5, and our oldest volunteer was 85.
I love it.
And it works for everybody.
Yeah, well, and I just read this article, and they call it the helper's high, which is totally true. You've heard of the runner's high, but, I mean, and that's why I do the show, and that's why I do so much volunteering, and they're like, oh, my gosh, and I said, well, it's purely selfish because I'm addicted to the helper's high, and, I mean, and that's what people need to expose to, and that's why it resonates with kids because, you know, it's a core belief. It's a core DNA program, if you will, that we're meant to help each other. And so people like you and your organization give people that opportunity.
I think it's really important for everybody to do some service work. You know, I love what we do. Whatever your passion is, I think it's really important. And I think you find out that it really feeds your soul. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard of the helper's high, but I love that. And you definitely get it. And every trip I make to Guatemala, which has been many at this point, I always feel like so excited and invigorated when I leave, and it's hard to leave sometimes.
Right, and I think the other thing you mentioned with Joe's initial visit, if you get out of your comfort zone, it's hard to do. It's scary. Right. It's something new. People are adverse to change, but if you push yourself just a little bit, that's where the growth begins and the true happiness comes.
I agree totally.
So I'm excited that you're offering this incredible organization. So why did he pick that little corner? It's northern Guatemala is where it is?
Well, he visited his son in northern Guatemala. We're located in our offices in Antigua, and we serve communities about 45 minutes surrounding Antigua. Some are closer than others. We've built in over 20 communities so far.
Okay.
Joe's thing was that there's 2.1 million cornstalk shacks in Guatemala. We have a lot of work to do. So we're coming up on 1,500, so we still have lots of work to do. So we really, really need volunteers and welcome them. I set up their trip with them. I guide them through the process, which I love doing. I love meeting our volunteers. They've come from all over the United States and 29 countries. So we've had a really well-balanced group of volunteers of all ages and all different types of people.
Yeah, I mean, 1,500 is a drop in the bucket, but you could look at it. You've got an opportunity. People have 2 million opportunities to go help and grab your family. Is it the volunteer opportunities focused during certain times of the year? Or
nope. The only times we don't build is during Holy Week.
Okay.
And we don't build from about December 7th to January 2nd. Okay. That's when our staff takes a very well-needed break.
Yeah.
They work really, really hard, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll come back and talk about Joe and also Oscar.
Okay, great.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Today we're talking with Judy Baker. She is the executive director of From Houses to Homes. If you want to look that up, it's fromhousestohomes.org. And they're on Facebook as well and Instagram. And I just followed you this morning. Right. So, but we're talking about the founder, Joe Collins, founded the organization in 2004. And there's another specific individual that has helped build this organization, and that's Oscar Mejia?
Yes.
All right, well, why don't we talk about these two guys and what they've built?
So when Joe volunteered with the other organization, Oscar Mejia, our project director, worked for that organization, and they became very fast friends, and Joe would refer to Oscar as a brother. He felt he was such an incredible human being, which he is. Oscar's story is very interesting, being a child that grew up in Guatemala. He ran away from home at age 9 because he didn't like his home situation, and he just ended up through a very difficult journey in a lot of great places and ended up getting educated and learning English, and he's just a beautiful human being that really cares about the work we do. And if you asked any one of our many volunteers, they would tell you he's one of the greatest people they've ever met. So Joe trusted him to help him be his man on the ground in Guatemala when they began. Joe said, I'm going to start this organization. I'll guarantee you a year of work, and I'll pay you for a year. Joe never took a salary. And so Oscar trusted him, and they came together and started this amazing organization, which we're heading into in 2020, our 15th year. And Oscar is still our project director. He manages all three projects down in Guatemala. He works very hard. He manages 41 employees.
Wow.
He's just a very giving man and recognizes the needs in his community and wants to bring change.
Yeah, so you just touched on the fact that you've got three programs. You've got the houses and then medical clinic and school, right?
Yes.
So you want to talk about those?
So obviously, we've talked about building homes. Our school is located in Santa Maria de Jesus. It's called Escuela Kemnao, and we have 174 students, as I said before. We teach English, we teach Spanish, and we teach their native language in that community, Quechiquel, which is one of the 21 Mayan dialects in Guatemala.
And is Kemenho a word in that dialect? Or
Kemnao is a word in that dialect that means building minds, building knowledge, that kind of thing. So it's a beautiful school. It's a green school. We have a 15,000-gallon water cistern. We have some solar power, and our children, we have a full-time psychologist. In that community, there are a lot of social issues because of, like you would find in any poverty-ridden community. And so our psychologist, Roxana Gonzalez, is an incredible woman and does great work with the families. She works with the children, the families, the parents, you know, to help them through many of the challenges that they face.
Yeah, I think people don't realize in some cultures, I don't know about this particular one, but the men beat their wives, it's kind of normal, right? Is that true or is that different there?
I don't think it's normal, but domestic violence, substance abuse are
prevalent.
Problems you find in any community that lives in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with some of that, but there's just also being poor and needing to get your needs met, just needing health care for your children. If I can share a story.
Sure, sure.
We had a young man in our school, and he had a cast on his leg. And it just happened that week we had an orthopedic surgeon from Atlanta volunteering
with
us. Oh, my
goodness.
And so he said he would take a look at him. So he asked Eliseo what happened, and he said he had, like, a stiff ankle. So the National Hospital put this cast on him, and there was no fracture or anything. And when the doctor examined him very quickly in our school, he noticed that he actually had spina bifida that had not been treated. So his leg was now, at age 9, being affected by untreated spina bifida.
Oh, wow.
So,
which is a birth defect, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it just happened that all the pieces fell into place that week. The orthopedic surgeon helped us direct us where we should go. We had some other volunteers that said, you know, the orthopedic surgeon said that they needed an MRI. The other volunteer said, we'll pay for it. An MRI in Guatemala was $100.
I know, it's crazy, right?
So they volunteered to pay for that. Our employee, Julia Wild, who's in charge of partnership and development in our student sponsorship program. Her husband's uncle was a neurologist in Guatemala City, so he said he would see LSAO, and it turned out that he needed surgery.
Oh.
So we were able to then do a fundraiser, because we have the greatest donors in the world, and we were able to raise enough money for LSAO to get his surgery and get physical therapy afterward and get all the treatment he needed.
Holy moly.
Everything fell into place, which, you know, Joe's thing when he started this organization was just have faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, when donations would be down, he goes, just have faith. I know that it's all going to come together. So everything worked for Eliseo, and we were really happy to help him. But had that orthopedic surgeon not been there, had, you know, so many things wouldn't have happened if he wasn't at our school. And, you know, it was just amazing. It was really incredible.
Well, that makes me think of the phrase, the stars align, right?
Right.
So, and something good happens, and I want you to share the, Joe liked to tell the starfish story,
yeah.
Right? So, for those who haven't heard it, do you want to tell the starfish story?
So, Joe really loved the starfish story, and if you haven't read it, it's a very short, brief story about a little boy on the edge of a beach, and there were starfish that washed up on the beach, and he was throwing them back into the ocean because to save them, essentially. And an older gentleman came by, and he said, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm trying to save these starfish. And he goes, God, there's so many. How are you going to do it? And he threw one back in, and he said, well, I saved that one today.
Yeah, yeah. I made a difference in that one's life,
yeah,
right?
So, you know, we're one house at a time.
Yeah.
You know, one student at a time and one patient at a time. That's how we operate. And everything has its challenges, and we just, you know, address them. And because of our incredible support system and our volunteer part, everything just generally comes together.
Right, and we were also talking about there's these giant aid organizations, UNICEF and USAID and Save the Children. There's these giant organizations that have been around forever, but also there's a lot of smaller organizations because now it's somewhat easier to start your own nonprofit, but it's not easy, right? Because people are like, well, I'm just going to start my own and do it right. But do you want to share any of the challenges if people
Well, you can start a nonprofit. You can apply to start it. There's rules that you have to follow, which Joe did, and we became a registered nonprofit. But then you have to raise money. And that's pretty much what you try and do every single day. So it's a lot of marketing and a lot of talking to people. And Joe's theory, which I always agreed with, was once you come down and see what we're doing, you don't forget it. And so our volunteers stay very connected. Like I said before, many, many of them come back, and they help us raise money. And that's what we need to do. We raise a lot of money for building houses because all of our volunteers ages 13 and over are required to make a $500 volunteer donation that goes towards building the house.
Yeah.
Our school people visit our school and they meet these beautiful children who are full of vim and vigor when you visit, and they're playing and they love the volunteers. So people sponsor them for $60 a month. So our school sort of takes care of itself. Our health clinic, unfortunately, is our most underfunded project, because when you visit our health clinic, you can sort of walk through, but you can't go in an office and meet the patient and that kind of thing. So that's our biggest challenge, is to fund our health clinic. And we work really hard at finding grants and that kind of thing. But for some reason, people don't connect to healthcare, which I find fascinating because it's such a hot topic, especially in the United States right now. But we keep plugging away and keep searching out more donor sources. We've had some amazing donors for our health clinic, but you can't depend on one person or five people to carry that. So we just keep working at it.
Yeah, well, I always say health as well. Right? Yeah. Anybody who's had an ailment or a health issue realizes that's number one, right?
My mother always said, if you have your health, you have everything.
Absolutely, right? And so maybe market that, or you could get, you know, put together, not a first aid kit per se, but a metaphor for that, and and say, you know, you can, you're a Girl Scout troop or somebody, say, can you put together first aid kits? I don't know, I'm just thinking out of the box
here. We just recently had our May fundraiser was dedicated to raising funds for the health clinic.
Okay.
And we had a great little evening of fun and music and Guatemalan food. I have a friend in Marstown that also has an organization in Guatemala, and she's very connected to the Guatemalan community in Marstown, so she was able to find me a group of people that would cook a very authentic Guatemalan meal, which everyone loved, and we had a DJ that played Guatemalan music, and we had an auction and a wine pull, and it was really, really fun, and it was very, very successful.
Good. Is this an annual ordeal, or did you?
We do an annual event. They're very different every year.
Oh, okay.
But this one seemed, we got a lot of great feedback on this one. It was a lot of fun. It was sort of on the casual side. So it was a really a great evening.
Okay, great. So maybe we'll do that again next year, huh?
Yeah. We were so incredibly grateful to everyone that came and participated, and you know, the feedback was very positive. Everybody had a lot of fun, and a lot of our volunteers, because we have a huge population of volunteers in New Jersey who had met in Guatemala, were now reuniting at our fundraiser. So that was really fun too.
Yeah, that's good. If you got food, music, and wine, you're pretty much good to go, right?
You're all set.
I know, that's amazing. Well, and I was just curious as to the different communities you build. So when you do you take over a cornstalk community and start building, or how do you determine where the houses are going to go?
Our staff, we have a team of people that go into communities. We want to make sure it's a safe environment for everyone to visit. And in order to obtain a house from us, you need to own your land, which is not uncommon down there, because many of these indigenous families, the land has been in their family for hundreds of years. So we meet families, we go searching. They're very easy to find. And once they know we're in their community, they'll also seek us out and ask if they could be considered for a home. So the community where our school is, which is an indigenous community, Santa Maria, is where we've built our most houses. We've built over 350 there. That was our first community. Mm-hmm. And since then, as I said, we've been in, you know, 19, 20 different communities within 45 minutes of Antigua. Very mountainous and very poor. So we basically go, and sometimes there's someone in the community who'll say, I know people that need homes. Everybody needs a home.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
But you just get started in there. And we bounce around a little, and we're trying to help a lot of people in a lot of different places.
Yeah, and are the people in this region, are they part of a discriminated tribe, or why are they kind
indigenous people in Guatemala are discriminated against, unfortunately. They were the first ones there, but as we know how that goes. But they're beautiful people, and they have many, many incredible skills. Women weave, men carve wood, they're farmers, they're carpenters. Their communities are very rich in skill and in community in itself. So I'm not sure, you know, there was a long war in Guatemala, and it was a lot of of the problems were directed towards the indigenous community. Mm-hmm. Over 200,000 people were killed, mm-hmm. all indigenous. Mm-hmm. Their land was taken from them. It was a horrible war. And there are two documentaries about it that are very fascinating. Oh. One is When the Mountain Calls.
Okay.
And the other one, the follow-up was called Granito. And they really tell the story of what happened in those 30 years in Guatemala. Okay. And it's very, very sad, and there are long-term effects from that because people lost entire families, or, you know, the dad went to work and came home and his family was gone, and crimes against humanity in general.
Yeah, war is never a good thing. No. The other one that I watched that was really good is called Living on $1.
Yes.
Have you seen that one?
Yes.
And that one's more of it's these four college kids mm-hmm. that go down there, and they really emulate what it's like to live where they pick from a hat whether they're going to get work that day, and they've got the system, and mm-hmm. it's amazing, these four kids.
Yeah, a couple of them got very sick while they were
yep.
doing that.
And lost 20 pounds, and they didn't have 20 pounds to lose.
They're great
yeah.
human beings, yeah. and they just changed it from Living on One to, it's called Optimist.
I just saw that.
Now,
I just got the email.
And they
yeah.
have some great videos, and they're doing good stuff.
Yeah, because they did that documentary, and then they did one in, like, Iran, or I forget, in a refugee camp somewhere.
Yes. And they're going to continue working in Guatemala and the refugee camp, but they're also doing some other really cool videos.
And they are great guys. Yeah, they are. So if you want to immerse yourself in Guatemalan culture and history, and you can check out all of those documentaries and those organizations. So that's great. So what can you tell us what it's like to live? Have you seen the cornstalk shacks? Like what?
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
you
I've
said
seen
it, they wash
many
away
of them.
Or.
Joe had befriended a young man that lived up in the Lake Atitlan area, and there was, when Tropical Storm Agatha went through, the cornstalk shacks just washed off the mountain. His family lost 10 members of his family in a blink. They just wash off their, you know, there's no footings, if you will.
Right.
They're just built there. It's, you know, we use cornstalk to decorate for Halloween. This is their home. There's bugs in cornstalk. Dirt floors are muddy. There's mold. So it doesn't lend to a healthy lifestyle. In fact, many of the people we treat at our clinic is respiratory problems.
Oh.
We often have children on nebulizers because they also cook over an open fire. Mm-hmm. So you have this cornstalk, you have this open fire, and the smoke just pours into your face. I've had the experience when I've built a home in an area where someone was cooking next door, and I could take it for about 15 minutes, but these people live in it every day. And it's a very difficult lifestyle, and I really admire them for how they manage it, because I don't think I could.
Well, it's all they know, right?
Yeah.
You know,
it is all they know, and which is unfortunate. Just an interesting story. Last year, we had our first ninth grade graduates from our school, which is an incredible accomplishment in a community where we have our school, because these people are very poor. So as soon as children can go to work in the fields, they want them to go. But we've managed to educate some of the parents that this is a really good thing. It can be change. It can, you know, break the cycle of poverty. So we had 13 graduates, and we wanted to do something special for them because they worked hard to get where they were. And so we said, do you want to go for lunch? Do you want to go to a museum in Guatemala City? Do you want to go to a movie? What do you want to do? And they all wanted to see the ocean because they had never seen the ocean.
Isn't that wild? And how far is it? It's not that far.
It's about 2 hours.
Okay.
So we loaded them in a van, and we went to the ocean. And I was just telling someone yesterday, it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life because, you know, in New Jersey, I can drive to see the ocean in an hour.
Right.
They had never seen it. So we had, you know, let's say half boys, half girls, and the boys just ran and fell in the water. And the girls were really, really scared of it.
Funny.
But it was an amazing day. And these children from an indigenous community that really don't get to go anywhere got to go see the ocean. We had a wonderful lunch, and then on the way home, we stopped at an ice cream store, and I said, you can have anything you want, and they were so blown away that they could choose anything off the menu. So it was just an incredible day, but that's what we're, the people that we work with, they don't get to go anywhere.
I know, and we take so much for granted.
We do, and I try
and remember that every day. Health number one, and then everything else. Food.
And life is easy. And one of the other bigger differences is there's many social programs in the United States and many countries where you can say, gosh, you know, I'm unemployed. You can get unemployment insurance.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money for food. You can get food stamps. You can go to a food kitchen, a food pantry. There's so much here. There is none of that down there except for the nonprofit organizations in Guatemala, which there are many, many nonprofit organizations addressing a wealth of, you know, different issues. There's just ones for pregnant women. There's ones for education. There's ones for water. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of help down there, but it's still there's a lot of people that need help.
Yeah, and that's why I work with Room to Read, and people are saying, well, you know, they don't work in the U.S. I'm like, the U.S. has a lot of programs, and Room to Read is focused on education in Asia and Africa. So, I mean, and I love education is key, but a lot of, like you said, the parents don't value the education. They want the dollar in the pocket right now, and that's the field work is the only way they see that because they're living day to day, basically.
And unfortunately, in communities like that, people have many children. They don't have access to birth control either, and some of them don't believe in it.
Right, it's cultural, right? Yeah. It's cultural.
But so you have a family of eight, and the father's making $3 a day and trying to feed these kids, and it's tough. Because they love their children as much as we love ours.
Absolutely.
So they want to do what's best for their children at that moment, and unfortunately sometimes it's not getting an education, it's going to work to help the family.
Because you can't study if you can't eat, right?
Right. You can't learn on an empty stomach.
Exactly.
We know that.
Yeah, we know that.
So our school provides two hot meals a day, breakfast and a lunch. So.
Yeah, and talking about the children, so you yourself have a very close connection to Guatemala. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I have two children adopted from Guatemala. My son is now 23 years old, and my daughter is 16. And I just ended up finding my way to Guatemala to adopt. It was sort of a menu of countries that I could adopt through, and Guatemala fit their criteria, basically. And I would never have thought it would give me the gift it did in my life, besides my children, just this incredible country that I get to be part of and work there and meet beautiful people, and it changed my life. So when Joe started the organization, he said to me, I'm going to need help sometimes. Would you help me? I was working as a nurse at the time, and I said, yeah, whatever I can do. So in the beginning, it was just a little bit. You know, when he went to Guatemala, I'd pick up the mail. You know, I was more of a public speaker than he was, so he sometimes would say, could you go speak to this school or whatever? And then as we grew, he said, I really need you to come on part-time. So I was really ready to leave my nursing job. I had done it for so many years, so I replaced it with my job with Joe, and unfortunately when he passed away in 2013, he left me with the keys to the kingdom, and our board of directors was kind enough and believed in that I could lead the organization. And so we're working hard, but between my children and what Joe brought into my life, it's just changed my life.
Good for you. Well, and nursing is no small feat. I think nurses are the gifts from the universe. I mean, so that's a tough job, too.
Right.
Yeah, well, do your kids go back with you, right?
My kids do go back. We've built 9 homes together. They love it. My daughter is very connected to her culture, much more than my son. My son came here when he was 6 months old. My daughter came when she was 2, and it really made a difference in how they view their culture. My son's sort of all American, and he loves to go to Guatemala. He loves building the houses. He loves the people. But when it's time to come home, he goes home. My daughter always says, I'm going home. So she loves the country. She loves the culture. And I say that she flies the Guatemalan flag pretty much every day in our home. So
that's good.
Which I love. I love, you know. But they really have a good time building. You know, it's fun. It's hard to say that doing, you know, hard construction work is fun, but it really is a lot of fun.
Well, and I think, too, again, in it's just in our nature to do a hard day's work physically, mentally, community-wise, interacting. It's just what we're designed for. So if you have that opportunity, that's what makes it amazing. So do you have any other stories that you want to share about just things that have resonated with you over the years?
Gosh, there's so many. You know, every family that you meet presents a different set of issues. We built high on a mountain one time. Well, we're always on mountains, but this particular time, my family and 5 groups of my friends came, so we were building 5 houses. And we were all up in this little corner of the world, very, very high, like over 6,000 feet above sea level. And the mom was carrying around her 5-year-old all the time, and he couldn't see. And I said, what happened? And she said, he got a fever. And this was the results. So I said, you know, would you like a wheelchair? Because if she was going to carry this young man for the rest of his life. She wasn't going to be able to. So when we go up to build these houses, you don't ever know what you're going to find, so you can then help that person get needs. One of the advantages of getting a From Houses to Home House is our health clinic. We call it our From Houses to Homes family. Every home has a number, so you are entitled to free health care at our health clinic. Nice. So you go to our health clinic and you say, I'm in home number 383, and they record, and you can get treatment, which many of them need for very simple ailments that children die of there that they shouldn't have, you know, and you know, I don't think we've had a couple of people that have had cancer, but usually it's respiratory, it's diarrhea, it's diabetes, it's stress, you know, and some depression. So, you know, their diet isn't that great. So they have a lot of side effects of that as well, with cholesterol and blood pressure and so on.
Yeah, what is their diet? I'm always curious as to what, because sometimes you see some of the kids from local go to these other countries and they say the food is so amazing. And it depends on where you're going and who you're with, but they have all this fresh fruit and all this other stuff.
Well, there's plenty of fresh fruit and fresh vegetables and that, but these people don't always have the money to purchase it. They eat a lot of tortillas, you know, with every meal. It's a very cultural thing. Most people in Guatemala eat tortillas with every meal, beans and rice. The communities all have their own market, so they have exposure and available fresh vegetables and fruit and some meat. So if they can afford it, they will get it, but a lot of times they can't. So the country in these mountains are covered with little tiendas, and they have giant bottles of soda and chips and candy, and sometimes that's what they go and get eat because it fills the void.
It's a treat,
which
right?
is all for about a half hour.
So
if they have, you know, one Q, which isn't very much money, they go and they get a bag of chips.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like American kids, right?
Right. So we have a program of monthly groceries, which costs $30 a month, and a family can receive a bag of staples that for a month. It has coffee, rice, pasta. It has sugar in it. A lot of people get upset about that, but it is part of their diet with their coffee. And so we've been told by many people don't take the sugar out. But we do try and, especially at the school, educate in good nutrition and at our health clinic. So there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Are they able to grow anything, or do they want to, or is it
well,
feasible?
Some of them don't have enough land to grow anything, and water is an issue. Remember?
Yeah,
irrigation. A lot of our people walk a mile or more just to get some water.
They still do. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So some of that is changing. It has improved in the 14 years we've been there, but they're still going a long way. And during rainy season, they can collect water, but the water becomes their drinking water, their bath water, and sometimes those cross over, and, you know, the water is not healthy.
Well, and so these houses you build, the homes, is that, like you said, it's got a window and a door and a roof, and that's it. There's no indoor plumbing, right?
No.
There's no no stove. Are they still cooking on an
We can supply a stove if, first of all, the family has to want the stove, which many of them do now. That's changing. But we have another program. You can donate a stove to a family anytime you want. A lot of people that come and build say we'd like to purchase them a stove. It's basically one room, our little home, and we provide bunk beds in every home.
Oh.
So when we first started, we found out people were sleeping on the floor, so we decided to provide bunk beds.
Okay. But everything's in one room. I mean, it's a one-room house, right?
Yeah,
or home.
And the different families use it for different things.
Okay.
You know, sometimes they still keep their cornstalk shack to cook in, especially if they're doing the open fire. And even if they get a stove, sometimes they leave it in there. Some people, you know, use the cornstalk shack for where they might eat and everything, and they just sleep in our home. They get creative.
Yeah, well, I would think the cornstalk shack would be flammable.
Yeah.
That's just the way they are.
It's the nature of the beast.
Right.
And I was there one time, and there was a bed and an open fire, and I was freaking out, and, you know, that's us.
Right.
Gringos arrive, and we address these things, and people are like, we do that every day. What's the problem?
I mean, like I said, that's all they know. That's their way of life. They work it, and just like anywhere else, accidents happen, but, you know, I don't know.
My daughter was 5 years old when she befriended, like, a 3-year-old boy on the worksite, and he took her into the house, and he was stirring this pot of whatever it was, and my daughter came out, and it was all over her mouth. And I said, oh, what were you doing? She goes, I had something to eat. And I said, well, what was it? She goes, it was black with chunks. You know, so it was black beans and some kind of meat, I imagine. But, you know, this little kid was there stirring
cooking
it.
Cooking at and, three or whatever.
Know, it's very different, and you have to be able to adjust when you go there that there's not all these safety precautions there are here.
Well, it's life skills. We protect our children too much, and that's starting to make itself prevalent in society, you know?
Yeah. You have children helping raise children when there's a lot of kids in the family. The older sisters and brothers are taking care of the younger sisters and brothers. You see small children walking to the store to get something. Very different than here.
Oh, yeah.
And you just have to be very open-minded and understand the culture and know that many of it works for them.
Yeah.
Even though we don't think it's the way it should be.
Well.
So we can educate and we can share, you know, our experiences, but we can't jam our culture down.
No, well, and that's why I love Room to Read so much, is because from day one they started saying it's not a bunch of Americans shipped over there to boss people around. They use the indigenous and the people that are from the country and know the culture and the language and all that stuff, which you've got that with Oscar. And, well, it's funny because I was going to have my son help make dinner. I said, you need to start learning, you know. And he's like, well, yeah, can you just put the water on for me for the pot? I'm like, no, I can't, you know. Oh, you know, and he's 18. So the 3-year-old is light years ahead of, you know. I'm like, oh.
Unfortunately, in that kind of environment, you learn survivor skills very young.
Yep.
And you learn just a lot of basic skills. You know, nobody here is going to let their 8-year-old take care of their 5-year-old. But you'll see it all the time down there, walking the streets. The children are tied in these
It's very cool. Yeah. So, all right. Well, life skills are important, and we need these teens to go down to Guatemala and get a dose of real life. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back.
Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-D.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. We're on Facebook today at Happy 100 in, and you can also look up our guest today, From Houses to Homes. That's on Facebook as well. And today we're talking with Judy Baker, who is the executive director of From Houses to Homes, and they build homes in Guatemala. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how people can donate. You can donate right on the site, and there's different pockets you can donate to, because they build the homes, and they also run a school, and they also run a medical clinic. So break it down for people if they want to help with some certain portion of that and how they can do that.
Sure. First and foremost, we love people to come and volunteer with us. So that's our big invite to everybody. Please come down and join us if you can make that work for yourself, your family, your school, your church, whoever. Second of all, we have different levels of donations. It costs $2,000 to build a home, so some people like to donate a home even if they don't go and build, which we are grateful for. We have a student sponsorship program, which is $60 a month, which provides the student with their education, 2 hot meals a day, availability of a school psychologist, which is often needed. And we have a grocery program, which is $30 a month. It provides a bag of groceries to a family, which they get every month on the same day. They come and pick it up at our office. And our health clinic, we need all sorts of help with our health clinic. Any kind of donations, we have some wish lists that some people send stuff to me. They collect vitamins or medical supplies, and that helps. Or we have different levels of donating. You can donate $100 and 4 women can have their annual OBGYN visit. It's like $25 for full physical and lab work, and then just, you know, medicine. We always need donations for medicine. It's really hard to get, and it's expensive. So we're always looking for connections for finding medicine.
In pharma country?
I know. It's difficult, though, because if we were the only organization in the world looking for medicine, it would be one thing. But we just keep searching, and we've fortunately made some very good connections and have help with that. But really, any amount helps us. So you can go to our website at www.fromhousestothomes.org and click the donate button if you're interested. If you're interested in volunteering, you can contact me, Judy Baker, at fromhousestothomes.org, which is all on our website, and I can guide you through the trip. I can tell you about it, which may lead you to making the trip.
Yeah, but give us the breakdown. So you said each person has to donate $500 at the 13 and over.
Right.
And is that in addition to their they provide their own plane fare and all that stuff down there?
Yes, they provide their own plane fare and their accommodations. Your biggest expense really is your plane fare, unfortunately. But when you get there, there is every level of accommodations. You can stay in a hostel for $5 a night. I know many people don't want to do that, but it is available for, you know, I call them the backpack people, young people traveling the world. There's all different types of hotels there, very, very nice hotels, very safe and secure. There's all sorts of meals. So when you get there, you can make a very budget-friendly trip. It's just your airfare getting there and your donation. What a lot of our volunteers do is they do a fundraiser to raise their $500 donation. People do all sorts of creative fundraising. Last week I went to a fundraiser in Pennsylvania for a family that's going. They had a backyard picnic, and they invited local musicians to come and perform. And it was 2 hours, and they raised almost $5,000.
Holy moly.
Yeah, for their trip. So
nice.
What a lot of people do is they raise their donation and then the cost of the house, and then they like to bring things to the family or identify when they're there what does the family need, like if they need a pot to cook on or whatever. But that was a really awesome fundraiser that I attended. And some people do, you know, your basic GoFundMe. Some people do. My son came up with an idea when he was in seventh grade called A Buck a Block. So it's about 700 homes, 700 blocks to build a home. And so he would ask for a buck. But, you know, in our very generous community that we live in, people mostly will donate, you know, more than $1. So he ended up raising $3,000 just doing buck a block at his school.
Nice.
His school allowed him to do it in school. There's all sorts of creative fundraising that I've seen, and I love it. And I find that people want to support people who are doing good in the world.
Totally. Yeah.
They love that, you know.
Yeah. And someone's like, I don't really want to go, but I'll support you to go, right? You know, some people, like my husband's like, can I just write a check? I'm like,
yeah. And it adds up, you know. Yeah. I've seen some kids raise some incredible amounts of money. Kids, not their parents. Just kids coming up
with
programs.
It's like the Girl Scout cookie syndrome, right? Yeah. You get the little kids are cuter when they're asking for it. You're like, okay, you're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. When your mom puts it on Facebook, buy Girl Scout cookies, you're not so inclined. But if they knock on the door with their parent, of course, with them, you're like, hi, Mary. You know, sure, I'll buy 6 boxes of Thin Mints.
I know. Right? Yeah, so kids need to realize they have that power. Mm-hmm. They need to develop it. And again, it encourages them to talk to people, actual people, instead of being on a screen.
It's a great skill.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and you can do it at any age. I've really been blown away by what
Yeah, because there's a dearth of soft skills. They call them soft skills in the marketplace today. They're saying that's going to be the number one hiring factor coming for kids. You know, they're all academic geniuses, but you got to be able to communicate. And so that's where
we even had a little girl. She was in fourth grade, and when she came home, she put together a little book called "Old Enough to Do Good in the World."
Oh my gosh!
And her mom sold it and raised some more money. So that was really cool.
I would love a copy of that. I would sell it. Okay,
I'll see if I can find you one for sure.
Well, also, can you kind of walk people through? So how much lead time do they need to book to build a home?
Well, our busiest time is through the summer, although we're Thanksgiving week has become a pretty busy time now for us. Families want to come down and build a house during Thanksgiving week. They really love it. So you need the lead time for your airfare, because you know if you book too close to your trip, it's more money.
Right.
So that's your first thing. And you basically look at our schedule, which is on our website, and then you write to me and say, do you have availability during, you know, June 1st to June 5th? And I'll say yes or no, and then I'll schedule you, and then I send out a welcome packet via email, and I walk you through the whole trip. And I think I answer a lot of emails in regards to the trip, and I want people to feel very comfortable going.
Right.
It is not a scary place. It's a beautiful country. Like the United States, there is crime in Guatemala, but like we don't hang around in those areas here, you don't go in those areas there. Antigua, where you would stay, is, as I said, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. They have...
beautiful.
It's a very safe environment. So...
And you don't even have to get shots, right? No shots required?
No. You know, that, it's really funny. Over the years that I've been working with volunteers, I used to say, listen, no one ever told me to get shots to go, right? So I didn't. But then I found out that some travel doctors tell people to get something, so people get some shots. Some travel doctors say you don't need anything. Some say I'm going to give you a antibiotic in case you get traveler's diarrhea. But it's a very mixed bag of doctors' opinions on what you need to go. And we're not working in the rainforest, so you're not in an area that might present
mosquitoes,
bigger issues than that.
Okay.
But it's very mixed. So I always tell people, just contact your doctor or a travel MD and be comfortable.
And people have their own health issues they're dealing with, so your doctor will know what's right for you.
And, you know, when you're down there in Antigua, we have our health clinic, so that's available to all of our volunteers if something happens. And there is an amazing private hospital there that I had, unfortunately, the experience of visiting with my daughter. She was hit by a motorcycle, and the care was incredible. In fact, she had an x-ray, she had an orthopedist, a GP. She ended up getting a leg immobilizer and some pain medicine, and it was $140 for everything. And the care was excellent, and the hospital was very clean. So we can address anything that comes up down there.
All right, well, what is the what's the favorite food you crave when you go back there? You're like, I got to get my burrito or tortilla or whatever.
I'm a drink person.
Okay.
I'm non-alcoholic. It's called limonada con soda. Anyone who knows me through the organization knows that's the first thing I do when I get there. It's fresh lime juice and ice and sugar, and it's served in these beautiful, nice, cold, frosty glasses, and it's my favorite thing down there. And then for me, I'm more of a simple eater. Fresh guacamole all the time. So, you know.
Good. Well, so, So
there's lots of food. There's lots of great food.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I did a segue. But so if people want to volunteer, is there an ideal group number, like 5 people, 10 people, or do you mush people together? Or
if you come, you can come in by yourself, or we like up to 6 on a on a house site. But if someone has, you know, if parents have, you know, 5 children, we make it work because often the children are younger, so we don't really always count them as a full worker.
Yeah.
But if you come down with 20, we, you know, you would build 3 houses or 4.
Yeah.
But we try and keep you near each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like somebody's over here and somebody. But it's really fun to do. I've taken down so many of my friends, and we've had a ball. It's a good time.
Well, what's not to love, especially when you've got the, you're not, you know, isolated out in the bush. You're helping people, but then you get to go to this incredible
city.
You know, global city. That's amazing. So let's just say the website again, fromhousestohomes.org. They focus on Guatemala. You can help sponsor a student. You can buy groceries for a family. You can do a fundraiser. You can help the women's health clinic. Or you can do a buck a block.
Right.
I love that. We did a buck a book for Room to Read. So,
oh, cool.
I mean, and it's fun to come up with these, you know, you get some marketing
get
experience.
Creative.
I know, get creative. That's another thing that people need to embrace is creativity. So, check out what they're doing And any questions, direct Judy, put a team together, start thinking about that. Thanksgiving's coming up. Are you already booked for Thanksgiving?
I just had some people write to me yesterday and said, we've come the last two Thanksgivings, we're coming back, two families that come down.
Nice.
So we have about three groups, but we can take up to, we build up to five houses a week, six if we really need to push.
Okay, great. So. All right, well, it was really fun today, and good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former special counsel Robert Mueller largely answering with yes or no at the first of two hearing appearances on Capitol Hill today before the House Judiciary Committee. He's asked about whether his report exonerates President Trump on obstruction of justice, and he says no, it doesn't.
And your investigation actually found, quote, multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mueller there answering a question from the Democratic chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler. Mueller will be going before the House Intelligence Committee later on today. The remaining nations in the Iran nuclear deal that the U.S. is no longer part of will be meeting in Vienna Sunday to discuss salvaging that agreement and easing sanctions on Iran. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing. The difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, balance of nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The fight against Georgia's heartbeat abortion law heading in front of a judge, and the ACLU and Planned Parenthood have filed a lawsuit already against the bill, but now they've announced that they've filed an injunction in the hopes the judge will block the law from taking effect until the suit is considered. Mark Esper sworn in yesterday as the new Secretary of Defense. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito giving him the oath of office in the Oval Office, after which Esper thanked President Trump for bolstering the military.
Our military has made tremendous gains in recent years thanks to your leadership, and we stand ready today to take on any challenge. And while our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines stand guard each and every day, we will ensure their families are well taken care of.
A piece of music history on the auction block, Lucille. The guitar of the late blues legend B.B. King will go up for bid in September. It's valued between $80,000 and $100,000. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The bill to extend the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund through 2092, essentially making it permanent, finally gets passed by the Senate. That was the final legislative approval, and now it only needs the president's signature. Advocate and comedian John Stewart says the nation owes this to first responders who became ill after working at Ground Zero.
I'm hopeful that today begins the process of being able to heal without the burden of having to advocate.
The president expected to sign that bill on Friday. Reports are Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rossello will resign today after more than a week of protests calling for him to step down. That after publication of messages between Rossello and his closest advisors, which included jokes about Hurricane Maria victims and homophobic comments. And getting late word that Theresa May has officially resigned as the British Prime Minister to make way for newly elected Boris Johnson. Delivering a speech at 10 Downing Street for the last time just minutes ago, May said she hopes for a Brexit that works for the whole United Kingdom. She had an audience with Queen Elizabeth this afternoon, local time in the UK.